Heavenly Father, we ask that you would give to us today a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Cause your word to come alive. To ask that you would bring seeds of insight that will grow into a greater fullness as we walk our journey with you. So we ask this morning for seeds of insight from your word. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Very tiny review, Matthew 16, which is where I'm not teaching from, but very tiny review for the sake of the context of what I want to pull on in the text we've been in. But Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus made this statement, which I've done a fair bit of teaching, but I want to draw from it in our next text. Matthew 16, 18, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. You are Peter, Greek language, you are Petros, you are a stone. Upon this rock, Greek word Petra, meaning bedrock, he was pointing to himself, I will build my church. And as I've been teaching, the word church there is the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia is translated, typically, most translations throughout the New Testament, as the word church. But the word church, as we've talked historically, Jesus was not using a religious terminology. He was not speaking religiously. He was speaking from something that existed in his time. The ecclesia was, in one hand, a reference is going, dating back as far as 500 BC. Ecclesia was the assembling of an army. So if we just pause there, I will build my ecclesia, the assembling of an army. I'm going to assemble an army. Okay, there's one piece of ecclesia. Interesting, if you track it all with these leaders, Dutch Sheets and Chuck Pierce, who are known apostolically and prophetically, just announced that the Lord spoke to the two of them to revisit something they did a number of years ago in the United States. And they did historically a few years back, they went to every state in the United States. People gathered with them as they yielded their apostolic prophetic gifts, and they, together with a gathered people, listened to God, prophesied over that state, warred over what God was saying over that state. And so they literally went state to state to state and did this over a season of time. They just announced, starting, I believe, later this month, that the Lord said, go back to every state. Plow in 2019, you will build in 2020. So they have received a recall of the same kind. But think, many in the church just think these guys are a bunch of fruitcakes. But if you don't have a revelation of ecclesia, one part of it, the assembling of an army, then they're just a bunch of fruitcakes living off in their own little world. But when you get a revelation, part of God's intent is to see an army arise, then you realize then God is going to give assignments as he raises up his army. And that should and could land corporately upon a body, not only in the sense of what Dutch and Chuck, but what they are doing, as they were announcing this at their front end of the year event, this is, it's baffling to the human mind. Chuck leads his own ministry based in the States. Chuck invites others like Dutch Sheets, Cindy Jacobs, to join them at the front end of the year. Dutch got up, delivered a word at the front end of 2019. This just happened this week, so this is current. Dutch shared how years ago he had, I believe the number was 45 warts on his hands. And when he was seeking healing and going for prayer, the Lord said to him, you're not going to get this one, meaning the healing, by going to other people for prayer. You're going to have to learn Dutch to do this. And so suddenly it sobered him that I better learn what it means to get out the word of God and start to decree and declare. And so Dutch began to decree and declare, by his stripes I am healed, and began to speak the promises. And he said, I was doing it, I think he said, like 30, 40 times a day. But he's like, you better teach me how to enter into your word and become this kind of individual. His story was that within about 2 weeks, all the warts were gone. Well, he shared the story. That's cool. Chuck gets up, and they've announced that they're starting this launch into the states, every state. Chuck gets up, and he says, I've only shared this story maybe twice in my life, and Dutch hasn't heard this, and I've never seen Dutch, if you've ever seen him, stand there with his mouth open and say nothing. He stood with his mouth open. It's funny if you zoom in on Dutch, not Chuck, because Dutch just stood there because he was so caught by surprise. Chuck said, at the earlier days, I doubt he was saved. Maybe he was, but I had, and I think the number was the same, 45 warts on my hand. Well, Dutch is just, huh? And he said, I went to a warlock. He, whatever he did, ministry, I'm not calling it good, but his form of demonic ministry, he said all the warts disappeared. But he said an occultic symbol appeared on my hand. And he said, I got the same result that Dutch got. Now, Dutch is just standing there the whole time. Because in all their years, Chuck's never shared this story where he's present. And he said, I opened the door for demonic junk to come into my family bloodline that took me years to reverse and undo. So he said, I got the same result that Dutch did, but he got it by turning to the king and the kingdom. I got the results by turning to a demonic source, but with it came years of working to undo what he brought into his family line and getting rid of all that junk because he turned to a source. Hey, the devil will play our party and even give us a form of blessing so that he can destroy. And he said, one day, I think he was in a praise service, and an occultic symbol appeared on his hand. Now, he had a warfare to fight over his own future. Now, today, you would never know that, but I'm like, wow. And so Chuck, and there was a few other crazy things that happened of like that kind, but Chuck said, the Lord is confirming his word. Dutch and Chuck did not know both of them had this story of the same history, but one turned to the kingdom of God, one turned to the kingdom of darkness. They both got a miracle, but one came with a whole bunch of trouble. Point being, turn to the devil. You can get some stuff, but his chief aim, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So I see not only a huge message in that, but a confirmation, because as an ecclesia, what they're saying is we're going back out into the states, one state at a time, to be the ecclesia. Gather, assemble. Second part of ecclesia, they're judiciaries. They would gather 40 times a year, like a town council, to gather and set rules and regulations. Decide how the city affairs would regulate. Change the laws when needed. Jesus said, I will build my ecclesia. I wish we could take the word church and wipe it off the map. Because church became a place where people gather. But the place is the emphasis, not the people and the purpose of their gathering. So, if we keep this in mind, I will build my ecclesia. And in that picture is military, warfare, judiciaries, people that are change agents. It breaks the bubble that says everything is defined by a Sunday service or a Bible study. Those are important because that's how we get fed and that's how we grow. And when we're down and we need prayer of others, that's how we get some strength from the body. We need that. But Jesus was making a very different declaration than just a happy family that loves meeting every week or whenever they meet. We do want to have a happy family, but it's like, I want to know who's got my back when I'm on the front line and the enemy's shooting at me like crazy. That's family, but that's family that is also at war. Now go to Matthew chapter 5, because this is the text that last week we looked at, and I want to draw just a little bit more from here. Okay, Jesus, we're just one verse, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now notice, first of all, the tense. And I looked this up in the Greek, and it's literal three Greek words. You are salt. Just three Greek words. So it's really a declarative statement. The tense, you are. So think of God speaking to us. Jesus is the disciple maker. We're the disciples. Now, we know his intent is to build an ecclesia. And the ecclesia is going to be people that are going to be used by heaven to change the world, to influence change in the world. That's God's intent. Well, if I pause there for a minute, and let's go back 20, maybe 30, 40 years, the posture much of the church was taking was basically saying, if you're going to be a good Christian, you better get out of that world and hang out with the rest of us. That's what good Christians look like. So then when somebody has an aspiration, I have a sense that I want to be involved in politics. Well, that's not a good Christian. So I better throw away that stupid thought, and I better go back and be a good Christian and hang out with the rest of the church, because that's what the message was. I remember as a kid hearing my pastor preach the sermon the week that VCRs, for those that don't know what they are, they're before DVDs, okay? VCR, VHS. And I remember the week that VCRs hit planet Earth. And I remember as a kid thinking, wow, this is so exciting. I'm going to have videotapes at home. I was like 14 or 15. Amazing technological phenomena. You had to go to the theater to see a movie. You couldn't get it anywhere else like this. And I was excited. I can't wait till my mom says, we're going to get a VCR. And that was all in my inner world. I was just excited like a kid at Christmas about this technology. My pastor, that same Sunday, he didn't know what was going on inside me, but that same Sunday, he got up and he says, the VCRs are a tool of the devil. Do not let one of these come into your house, because if you do, you're letting the devil into your house. It is a tool. And I'm sitting there, no! As a kid, I haven't even talked to mom yet. Well, now I better not talk to mom, because now I'm talking to her about the devil coming into my house. I can't even talk. And it was years before a VCR came into our home, because it took years for that kind of mindset to change. So here's the fact. Can or will the enemy use technology? Absolutely. But what the church did is we demonized all advancements. So now, guess who controls all the technology and all of its developments and all the sales and who owns the companies? Well, a Christian back then would never dream of owning a business that would sell VCRs, because I'm selling the devil to people. So who's going to own the companies that make and sell VCRs? People that now control the world. And where's all the believers saying, well, we're praying, bless our hearts, we're praying. But that's not what Jesus said. Now, he doesn't mean don't pray. That's not what I mean by that. Meaning, if it's just prayer, while all the judiciators and change agents are non-believers owning all the companies and owning all the technology, then guess who's really driving the whole system? Not God. And so historically, the message in many forms was, if you're going to be a good Christian, then you get yourself out of that dirty world and come hang out. And we have many services a week, so make sure you don't miss one of them. And then you're guilty even though you're coming because you've done something wrong this week. So get to the front and bawl before God that maybe you'll get right again. This was the culture. All the while underneath it, Jesus is there saying, I prophesied an army coming. Many of the army frontliners are bawling at the altar week after week, never being good enough for anything. And Jesus is saying, I'm calling an army. So there's been an amazing shift in the body of Christ from that era, from when I was 14 to today. There's an amazing shift as people have begun to realize we've been trying to do something that perhaps wasn't what Jesus really meant. So when he says a statement here, you are the salt. Notice the tense. When am I the salt? Now. This is a declaration of who I am. I am the salt of the earth. Jesus said, be in the world, but don't be of it. In other words, the world will look at you and say, what is it about you? But you have to be in the world for somebody to say, what is it about you? You can't be in the world and nobody ever see you. I remember this was one of the conflicts in my early pastoral days because it was very clear, as a pastor, we pay you for one box, serve the sheep all the time. And so I came to a revelation when I got a heartbeat for the world, I came to a revelation that there's no room in my life to know anybody that isn't saved. And if I venture in that direction at all, Steve, you're the pastor, we don't pay you for that. And this was a war on my heart because my heart was saying, we're supposed to impact the world, but the church system has said, we don't pay you to intersect with the world. And that's why it was such a hard battle for me for years to come to terms that I can still stand as a leader and respond to a fire call and get my hands on somebody in a crisis and speak and release the kingdom of God and be still walking authentically right before God, doing what he's called me to do. That was a war of the mind because you can't be a leader serving and loving God and wanting to be this foolish, ridiculous thing called a firefighter. Now, I don't believe that now, but that's where my brain was. Or you can't love God and have a dream to be very, very good at something called sports. That all got chased away. Well, now today, I don't have a problem with that. It's a little late for some of the dreams to meet their fullness. So I'm not dreaming like I was when I was a 17-year-old. But what was the war of the mind? Jesus said, Steve, you're salt. Well, here's what. Here's what salt does. And I shared this last week. One characteristic of salt, it preserves food. And here's the characteristic I said. Microbes need moisture to grow. And microbes ruin the food. Salt draws moisture out of the food. Many disease-causing microbes are unable to grow in the presence of salt. Okay? Many disease-causing microbes cannot grow in the presence of salt. Jesus said, you are the salt of the world. In other words, there's a lot of microbes growing and causing disease all over our world. You're salt. Now, if you stand back and look at the disease growing and say, look at how bad that is. Look at how bad those people are. Look at how bad that person is. Are you salt causing effect? If I'm just from a distance, I see how bad it is. I'm going to talk about how bad it is. I'm going to throw things about how bad. But look at what Jesus said in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. So it's not whether or not we're salt, but then look at the caution. He says, if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out or thrown away and trampled underfoot by men. In other words, Jesus can come to me or come to any one of us and say, you are salt, that's a non-negotiable, but you become no good. Now, I still love you. That's not going to change. But I love you while you're still no good. And that's not what he intended, that we be loved by him and no good. He intended that we be salt that is actually able to cause change. But that means if I'm going to be salt, I'm actually going to have to move in the direction of where change is needed, not run the other way and speak bad about it. That means I might be one of the ones that might change a policy. But you can't change a policy that you can't get close to and have authority to even talk about. You can't change policies just by standing back. Oh, I hate all the things town council votes on. I hate everything, all these laws that they keep making. I hate what our government does. Well, you can talk about hating it all you want. We better see some salt. Prayer alone is not what Jesus commissioned the church to be. Prayer with being salt. So yes, prayer is part of it. And Paul said, hey, pray for me while I'm out in the front line, that boldness will keep coming and utterance will keep coming. Like, pray for me that I won't quit. Pray that I won't shrink back. So prayer is still a very important piece of the picture. But if we fall back and say, well, we're just to be a praying church, which is what many have taken as a posture, we miss the point of what salt is. Salt gets close. You have to touch it. You have to make salt can't help food not produce the disease if salt doesn't actually touch the food. But many believers have much preferred to get angry about the food they don't like or the thing they don't like and not become salt to change it and earn the right to change it. I remember years ago, I didn't get it. I get it now. I spoke a word of correction into somebody. And they looked at me and they had enough guts to say these words. They said, Steve, you haven't earned the right to speak correction into my life. And they completely rejected it. Now, I believe what I was seeing and correcting was correct, but they were also correct. Because what had I not done? And they were right. Like, I didn't resist their word. I was not willing to let the walls of my heart down to get close enough to earn the right to know when it's time to speak. And they had an extroverted, outgoing personality. It hurt. But it was an important revelation back to say, Steve, this is God speaking. You're like, put it in this context. You're not salt. Just because you come out from hiding and throw a word of rebuke to somebody, even if it's gentle, have you really earned the right to speak that word? And oftentimes we'll speak when we haven't earned the right. Now look at a second thing of salt. Second characteristic, salt is a texture enhancer. When a steak is salted, it encourages the meat to release liquid. This results in a juicy steak. I love juicy steak. When a steak is salted, it encourages the meat to release the liquid. So think about this. We are the salt. The meat, the steak, is the condition that is presenting itself to us in the lives of others. If salt does its thing, it helps the juices in the other thing to come out. But these juices are good. How can we help the condition in somebody else to change if we're not able to get close enough to the meat, they're the meat in this illustration, to help draw the juices of their potential? There's so much good potential in every person. And one thing I loved about what Dutch said as he was teaching on decrees a couple days ago, and he said, God always speaks from the end. Then he meets us where we are with the goal. If we'll walk together, I'll get you to this end. You may or may not get there depending on yielding to his work. But I'm going to decree over your life what this will look like if you'll listen to heaven's word, and it's going to look very different than what your condition is right now. But now, all the juice of that potential, I want to bring it out. Well, the declaration is pronouncing the end. Now, submit to me and let's go on a journey because I want to bring the juice. Well, in our context, we're salt. We are the ones that help the juice, the potential that's in other people from coming forth. If you get so mad and reactive at the condition you see in somebody else, we can't be salt. And this is our typical religiously trained response. It's wrong, I don't like it, so I'm going to react to it. That's our typical response. But Jesus said, you're salt. Get on the meat. But you can't get on the meat if you can't get near it because they've shut you out because your voice has said you don't have a right to be here. Another characteristic of salt, a flavor enhancer. Salt can intensify sweetness. Oh, I love that. Someone else is bitter. And God says, Steve, stop getting mad at their bitterness and get close enough that you're going to cause the sweetness that's in them to come up. Uh-oh, I think you better work on me because that bitterness is going to really smear me and it's going to cause a flavor to come out of me that's not the flavor you want. And this is often what happens, but what's God's intent? If we are salt, okay, second aspect of a flavor enhancer, salt can counteract bitter flavors. Wow. We're salt. All that bitterness. And here's what God says. Steve, or whomever he's speaking to, get close to it. Because if you get close to it, you're actually going to help the bitterness turn to sweetness. But not if you're too busy spewing off, angry, flipping out, getting mad at it all the time. This is a different perspective than the way many of us have been trained. A fourth characteristic, salt is a source of nutrients. Who's the salt? Us. Who's the source of nutrients to the world around us? Think about a vitamin. You can't, if a naturopath or naturalist said you are deficient in, I'm just randomly picking one, vitamin D. What are you going to do to bring up the vitamin D levels in your body? I'm going to find the foods that contain lots of vitamin D. I'm going to find whatever sources I can get it from. And potentially, you may go to the health store and buy a product that has vitamin D in it, okay? Now, how can the deficiency of vitamin D increase in the body if you don't take the nutrient from another source? Listen to the words. Another source and put them in the body. How can the deficiency rise in the one that's deficient if the vitamin doesn't come from another source, whether that be a food that you choose to eat to fill it or another source, like even a health product? So get this, we're salt, we've got the vitamins that other people need. They have a deficiency, but they can't rise in their deficiency if the vitamin does not get in them. Who's the salt? Me. Who's the vitamin? Me. Jesus, you telling me to get on the inside of other people? Kinda. Get close enough to actually start speaking and bringing nutrients into the life of somebody else. I did a training course a few years ago with a group, frontline workers, and I got a neat email from a 22-ish-year-old, and he really stood out in the class as I was teaching, but he sent me an email. Steve, I don't know if you remember me. It's like 6 months later. My name is, and like I remembered immediately. This is just in a secular business in our region. And he said, thanks to the teaching you did, for the first time in my life, I got honest with who I am. And as a result, I quit my job and I've enrolled in any, I won't go down there further on the path, but he had enrolled in a particular process to move him towards a childhood dream that he said, I had just reasoned out, even though it's a dream, I'll never get there. So he just accepted a job that he hated, no passion for, just doing an everyday thing for a paycheck. And I get this email, and these were secular students from 22 to about 65. And he said to me, thank you, because you helped me get honest. And I've made some life changes as a 22-year-old. I was thrilled, because who would ever thought of that kind of outcome? I was hoping, I hope the owners don't hear and blame me, that because of me, they had me teach a course, and because of my course, he quit. That doesn't sound positive. But in reality, it is, because if he hated his job, and he had a key frontline job, then guess what? His job performance will be terrible all the time anyhow. So really, it is blessing them, whether they see it as that. I was like, Lord, he's showing me, Steve, this is what salt looks like. I didn't know I was doing it. I helped a guy in a class of 10 students get honest. And I remember his questions and processes over weeks. Whoa, I didn't know that was going on, but now I get it, the way he was processing. So let me, just because of time here, we're going to wrap up. Turn to Colossians 4, and let me just show you this interesting, after Jesus has finished his work, Colossians 4, verse 6, and we'll just tie it up here. Colossians 4, verse 6, so he's finished his work. He's seen the church birth, the ecclesia coming forth. And look at what Paul says in Colossians 4, 6. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt. Now, in light of some of the things, Jesus said, you are salt. Okay, you are. It's not that you're trying to become, you are. Now, you may have become no good because you're tasteless, but you're still of opportunity for God to restore. You see, the principle of salt is it gets thrown on the ground, trampled on, it's garbage. But the principle of the kingdom is even if we lost something, God can restore it. There still is restoration. This isn't an end of the story. Oh, you know, you lost being salty, so it's over. No. I lost a lot of things that God has been progressively restoring. That is his business. He's a restorer of his intent. But if we look at this, let your speech. So now we're getting an example of how salt interacts with the world in human form. We're the salt. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. So that you may know how you should respond to each person. And I like the each person there, because that means there's going to be lots of opportunities to respond lots of different ways. But what is the intent of heaven in our life? We are salt. We are meant to fill the deficiencies in others. Just, Michelle, put up the Romans 5:12. We're not going to turn there because I'm closing. But this isn't new to most of us, the scripture, because I've taught from it lots, but I want to apply it to salt. Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, death through sin, so death spread, what does it say? How far reaching? There's no getting away from it. Death is all around us. And historically, much of the believer's response has been conditioned to just speak against it and run the other way. But Jesus comes forth and he says, you are salt. Get close to it. And when you get close to it, you're going to recognize massive deficiency. Massive deficiency. So you can either talk about that deficiency, because it's so obvious to you, you got the nutrients. Or you can say, how is it, Jesus, that you're going to help me take the nutrients that are in me and actually help them get on the inside of somebody else who has that need. That is a very different response than just getting angry and reacting to things that we don't like or we don't agree with or we think is wrong. And so to close it out with this Colossians text, let your speech, so one of the applications of being salt, what is our mouth doing? When we see something in someone else that we know it shouldn't be that way, we don't like it, they're not the way they should be, what is our mouth? If we start there, that'll touch all of our life, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if our mouth cannot bring grace, then something needs to have happened surgically in the heart, because the intent is that we're to be salt, changing our world. This is a whole different way, certainly, than I was raised. But hopefully you'll agree with me and say, well, one thing I can't say is that it's not there in the Word, because He is wanting to help us grow. So I end it with this. If you have had past tense, or if you have present tense, things bubbling up in you of passions and interests and desires, this is where you being salt will be lived out. Therefore, don't run away from those things that are bubbling up. Move towards them, because that's where the salt will be seen. And so can we just stand? I want to pray something specific in this as we close. Every one of us is the same. We're called to be salt. But all of us are different in how that will express itself in God's gifts and passions and interests. And so, first of all, I just declare the simple truth, we are salt right now. God, thank you that in us we walk with nutrients that others are needing. Thank you that the nutrients are within us and we are the answer to others who are void of nutrients that we have. Thank you, God. It's not something we're trying to get. We already are. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Now I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to bubble up the interests, the energies, the passions, and especially for those that have laid things down in their journey because they were chased away from believing that God could be in that. I call forth that restoration in Jesus' name. That you, Holy Spirit, will meet the inner worlds of people and begin to stir again what was let go and became dormant. We call it forth, we call it back, and I say, Holy Spirit, stir it up within individuals that have let something or things go that is their way of being salt. And I speak release over every ear, that you are released to look upon and explore within the things that God has put within you. You are released and blessed to pursue those things and to become familiar with those things and to arise as the salt that Jesus says you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.